So, yes, as you know, we're the Metzgers, and Benjamin, Hannah, and David, will you please stand up? Okay, there we go. Turn around so they can see you. All right, so those are our three children. They're 10, 9, and 7. And they've had a great adventure in their life being a MK. They've seen experiences most people don't really dream about. And so it's been a wonderful joy to be able to serve the Lord as a family. And there's no greater joy than to be able to have a family that serves God together. And our kids, they're as much a part of our ministry as Missy and I are. And so we're very thankful that through our kids, we've been able to have opportunities to reach people that we would not have otherwise. But God has a plan for everybody. And we're not talking about ourselves tonight. We're talking about what God has done in us and through us and how he wants to use us. And so as we are talking about this, we want to go back a little bit back to my birth. Because maybe you remember when we came here, we talked about the fact that my twin brother and I were born 6 weeks early. Me particularly had severe medical complications that they didn't expect me to survive. But they expected my twin brother to do so. But God had different plans. And so God in his providence took Joshua home at 9 days and left me here. God knows what he's doing in our lives. That's what we emphasized this morning. God knows what he's doing. And so he wants us to trust him. And that's one of the wonderful things that my kids have been able to see. They've been able to see mommy and daddy trust God. And so when mommy and daddy are talking about trusting God, they know mommy and daddy are not just speaking words. They've seen it in reality and in practice. And so that is a tremendous blessing. But then the blessing and trial of deputation is, this is what God does in deputation. As he took us through deputation, all of the churches, the men, we drove our vehicle over 100,000 miles, going back and forth across the country. And God provided. He protected us. He kept us safe in so many situations. I can remember one time we were crossing Utah. There's a section in Utah where there's absolutely nothing for 100 miles. There's signs saying this is the last gas station for 100 miles. And so we were climbing up a rather steep grade with our trailer. Our truck is struggling to get the trailer up to grade. And so we had to pull off to a rest area. And we go out. We go do what we needed to do at the rest area. And then come back and Missy says, I don't want to tell you this, but there's a huge puddle of oil underneath the truck. And so we're out in the middle of nowhere. There's no cell service. We don't even have our cell phones don't work. And so what do you do? Well, somebody saw what was going on, and they let us borrow their cell phone. We were able to get a hold of AAA, and they finally sent out a tow truck. But the man that came, he was a former mechanic who worked on the 7.3 liter diesel of the Ford. That's the engine our truck had. So he knew that, okay, he said, it's okay, you can drive the truck because it will shut off before it damages itself. So we were able to limp back to civilization. So that's one of the stories, how God showed himself faithful. And so God brought us through deputation. He brought us to Germany. We left with 14 suitcases and a pallet that was 4x6. So God provided. But then we come to the first thing a missionary has to do in a foreign country that doesn't speak English is start learning the language. And so God gives us opportunities. We go into the language school, and we're with other foreigners who are trying to learn German. And God gave us the opportunity to connect with these people. We still have contact, Missy does, with a few of the ladies that we met with. Missy got a text recently from one of those, just how are you doing and so forth. And so these relationships that we're building are part of how God brings people into your life, through the circumstances in your life. Yes.
And since we have a little bit of time, the lady there that's the teacher, she's the one looking at the poster. In Germany, you actually have to pay a church tax. So you belong to Lutheran church, the Catholic church, or you're non-religious. So I think her family was Catholic, and she at some point, like in college, she decided that she did not believe in God at all. She was a total atheist. She actually left the church, And I had, you know, over that time in language school, I had several opportunities to share what we were doing, why, and, you know, a little bit about God's word. I'm sure she is still very atheistic, but it's just those little things that where God places you.
And so the other opportunity or the preparation that God gives you is the ability to start helping in the church that you're in. We were in a church that has, well, this was just a picture of me there. It was during COVID. That's why, you know, we're on. This was a Wednesday night. And so I had opportunities to help teach through Acts. And it was a great opportunity to finally use the language that you're learning. It's a struggle. You know, you're constantly thinking in two languages and trying to put every word together. And the Germans are very gracious and they understand what you're saying. You're getting your point across. But you're developing your ability and your skills. And so this other picture there of me at that with those people, shortly after we got there, I was asked to give a testimony to the young adults on, first of all, how we came to Germany, how God had worked in our life to bring us to this point. Again, showing God's grace, God's plan to these young people, because at that age, most young people are wondering, what do I do with my life? And so it's wonderful to be able to help young people understand God has a purpose for you. One of the opportunities that you have as far as door-to-door goes, here in America, we think about door-to-doors, just going up knocking on doors. In Germany, that's not the case. You don't do that. It's the only people that do that are the JWs. And so you don't want to be associated with that. Plus, the Germans don't find that very, it's rude. You're going up to somebody's house. It's their castle. You don't do that unless you're invited. And so we stuff mailboxes, putting tracks and whatnot in the mailboxes. That's Benjamin there. That's what he's doing. We had opportunities to put several thousand Gospels of John in mailboxes. And we didn't just put the Gospel of John in the mailbox. There was a QR code on the front of it to give them a link to a Bible study in German, so they could, at their home, go through the Bible, or it was through the Bible with J. Vernon McGee. It's all translated into pretty much every language of the world, and so they had opportunity to listen to it in their native language, even if it wasn't German. And so people were able to do that if that's what they wanted to do. God then, after language school in Erlangen, we were down in Bavaria for that. God moved us to Ingelheim, near Frankfurt, to help a new church plant. He also provided a house for us. The missionaries that had started this church were retiring and coming back to the States, and so we were able to rent the house that they were in. And it was very much God's hand, because that was the only building, only house available in the town at the right price. And so getting involved in that ministry there, I had opportunity to teach through the names of God in Sunday school, talking about who God is. Because a name in Scripture has a meaning to it. It's teaching us something. Our names, my name, Caleb, is just a handle. Okay, so you can distinguish me from somebody else. But especially when we're talking about God, God's name is telling us something about who he is. And so it was explaining, when God says, I am, he's telling us that he is the eternal one, he's the self-sustaining one, he is the one that will sustain and will bring the Israelites out. He's the one that's doing that. And so teaching people that God's names teach you something about him is, of course, a great and tremendous encouragement to them. Because when we know who God is, we see how he fits in with all of our problems and how he can help us. And so I also had Wednesday nights, the opportunities to teach in the Wednesday nights, going through, again, we're talking about Moses and how God used Moses. But first of all, before God could use Moses, he had to teach Moses that you can't serve me in your own strength. That's what Moses did when he killed the Egyptian and buried him in the sand. He thought he could save Israel in his own strength. So God had to teach him, no, you can't do that. And so, again, learning that we are nothing without God. More of the ministry was at a very important, particularly for the men, was our men's prayer breakfast that we had once a month. Because there was two men in particular, one man in specifically, that greatly needed this time of fellowship. He was having difficulties in the home, and being able to come together with men and pray and to just have that fellowship was a great encouragement to him. The middle picture here is just that's a German tradition in the summertime.
In the wintertime. When it's dark early.
Yeah, you have a torch. It's a piece of, it's a wax stick wrapped in burlap, and you just walk through the wherever, and you're just having a torch walk. And so it's a very traditional thing, and this was a great, it was done on a Wednesday or Tuesday night. We had our midweek service, and they were able to have just fellowship together. And then again, our mailbox campaign, again, they're Benjamin stuffing mailboxes. We're putting Gospels of John again in the mailboxes of Ingelheim. Another very, very important outreach. Again, this is how you get the gospel out in Germany, in particular, because the Germans are very much atheist, anti-God, and anti-Bible, because they are taught that in the school system. There's a religious instruction every day in school, at least three times a week in school. When in the younger ages, like our kids, they are taught Bible stories. Now when they get up into, sixth grade and above, then they'll begin to teach them that you can't trust the Bible. The Bible is not trustworthy, it's full of errors, and so forth. And so it's no small wonder that nobody goes to church. Why would you go to the church? I mean, it's like a car manufacturer telling you, you can't trust my car, it's going to break, now buy it. You know, and so people are very, when they hear anything Bible, this is so when you're having the book table, you're offering them an opportunity to talk to you in a very non-confrontational way. And multiple times we were able to have conversations with people. They would just come up, especially God used COVID, he used the war in Ukraine and the world circumstances to help soften the heart of people. Because during COVID, people up until that time, science is truth. But then now they're saying in the headlines in the newspaper, science has failed us. So the thing that they're trusting in is failing them. And so they began to ask questions, and you have opportunities to give them the gospel. And God gave us those opportunities. Same thing with the war in Ukraine. Again, more turmoil, especially when you're in Europe, because in Germany, you're only 800 miles away from Ukraine. So it's very much in your backyard. War could spill over into the rest of Europe at any moment. And so this is very much on the minds of the people. And so one time, a man came up to me and asked me out of the blue, so when is Christ coming back? And so I was able to tell him, I don't know, but we have to be ready for that and give him the gospel. Another opportunity was a lady came up to the table there, and she said she had a friend that was a JW, and she told me that, you know, the translation that Mary was a virgin is a mistranslation. But I told her no, because in German it says Mary is a Jungfrau, and so that can be translated young woman or virgin, but in the it has everything to do with the context. So I told her no, but it says Jungfrau, not junge Frau. So young, not a young woman, but a virgin. So that was the only communication I had with her, but I helped her understand that it's not just a young woman, it's a virgin, and that's why Christ is God. Again, the kids were with us every time we had a book table. They're much involved in the ministry as we were. Hannah in particular was always, Mommy, Daddy, why aren't people coming up taking tracts? She really felt, she was so sad that people didn't want to come up and take tracts. And so this is our children's ministry. And sorry.
Do I get to talk on this?
Yes, you get to talk on this. I'm just
okay.
just a minute. So I'm going to, from this point on here, I'm going to try to weave the sermon and the presentation together. So Missy's also going to talk. I'm going to let my wife talk. She's good at that. Sorry, I just insulted you. Sorry.
You'll just have to tell me when you want to jump in.
Yes, no. I'll let you start, okay?
Okay.
Go ahead.
Because the children's, you know, Caleb's worked a lot with the adults, and I got to work a lot with the kids. A lot of times on Sunday, it was just our kids and the other missionary kids, but then we were always prepared if German kids walked in, if kids walked in that only spoke German. And there for a while, we had a family. The mom was actually French. The dad was German, so they spoke both at home, and their young daughter was coming to the children's church for a while. So that was always fun because she knew French better than German, and the mom was off. It's fun with the multi-languages. But this last year we started a WANA club. All three kids had a friend come. Hannah's friend came. Benjamin's friend came several times. We are going to be a little careful with faces, and hopefully I remember not to say names. With EU laws, it can get a little, the privacy laws are, if you don't have strict permission, you shouldn't say it. So that's why you see back of heads or smiley faces. So that was great that Benjamin's friend especially came several times. His family is again in a few minutes. Christmas programs, actually the French gal is also up in that top picture. And then it's hard to see because it's a little darker, but the boy there at the orange hat is David's friend. He and his family came for our Christmas program. We did cookies and traditional German, for the traditionally in the churches, they would do a Christmas tea with the Christmas program. So, you know, you invite all the moms and the aunts and the uncles and the friends for Christmas tea. But with COVID rules, it was, okay, we can have coffee, but we can't have cake in the building. And it's hard to serve cake outside. So we decided we'd switch to cookies. And then we did that again last year, too. So it was just a nice time of connection after the children's program. And then our coworker is there with a bright orange safety vest. She lives in Bavaria. She's about 3 hours away. She has 50 buckets of Lego, and she comes in and does Lego in a box VBS. So that's a great, you know, what kid doesn't want to come play with Lego? A team from the U.S. had come with they support our coworkers, and like the whole town of Ingelheim got a flyer in their mailbox, and with the five missionary kids bringing their friends, a couple random kids, and then their friends brought their friends. We ended up with 50 kids overall throughout the week, and you know, they all heard the gospel, play Lego, hear the gospel. It's a good building combination there. And again, my kids are actually in the very back row there, and Benjamin's friend was there. How many days did he come? At least 2 or 3 days. We'll see his family again in a few minutes. And then this last Christmas, I had met so many ladies from the community that I was friends with. My kids just, you know, became friends with the moms of my kids' friends, ladies that, you know, I would always pick up the kids at the same time and often see her at school together. And it's like, you know, so it's like, and then you hear English and it's like, wait a minute, like, you know, you speak English and German and like, what's your story? And so I really wanted to do an outreach with them. So we decided that I would host a Christmas brunch at our house. And so that was great. We had 16 ladies, all four of my expat friends came. They brought a couple of them brought their sisters, their family, their kids. So we had 16 people in our little living room. So that was, well, plus Hannah and I. So that was just fun. And then, did you want to pipe in or do you want me to keep? Okay. We have a picture of Sabina because she said, hey, tell my story so we can. Sabina, actually, Caleb talked a little bit about her this morning. She's 60 now. She's a single mom. Her son has grown. That's where Caleb helped Max move several times. Charismatic background, abusive childhood. She's very emotionally up and down. And, you know, so she's growing, but she struggles, but she's growing. She needs fellowship. And she was just a dear, sweet lady that we were able to input a lot into. She would take my kids on these awesome adventures, like, you know, go to the park an hour away. And it was just a lady that we spent a lot of time with. And, you know, you see growth, and then she struggles, and you see growth again, and, you know, so she's just a very sweet friend. We actually just talked to her again this afternoon on Telegram, so I don't know if you want to say anything else.
Again, talk briefly about Max. I mentioned this morning. Her son, Max, who grew up with her in the charismatic church, and the experiences he had in the charismatic church turned him away from God. He didn't want anything to do with God because that connects him, his mind with charismaticism. But Luke, our coworker, and I were able to take my van and help him move. He was down in the Alps in Bavaria working, and we loaded all his stuff. I'd never met him before. I didn't even know who this person was. And we load all his stuff into my van and take him back to Ingelheim. And that act was what God used to soften his heart towards himself, towards God. And he made a profession of faith shortly after that. And then he moved again to another town away from Ingelheim, where he got a job. So I put all his stuff back in my van and took him to where his new job was. And so it's these relationships, these acts of kindness, these being willing to help people in their need, that God uses to help them realize that, yes, this is real, what these people are doing, because they're living it out.
So it's kind of like Pastor was just saying a few minutes ago, it's having people over, making those friendships, that relationship. Here's two other ladies that I form relationships with. R is from Rwanda. I just met her last summer. She lives not quite in Ingelheim, but close. And then my friend L from South Africa. She's from Erlangen. Her daughter was in the same class as Hannah. And, you know, you drop the kids off at school, and then all of a sudden you hear somebody over here speaking English. And it's like, wait a minute. So I spend a lot of time with L. She and I used to walk together. And just a very unsaved, atheistic, God does not, maybe agnostic is a better word for her, God does not care about me. He can't care about me. If he would have, this wouldn't have happened. And this, you know, my friends wouldn't have died. And just, I talk with her still too. And it's just another relationship that you form. And you know that eventually, when she finally hits rock bottom, maybe she'll accept Christ. She's heard the gospel. You keep in contact. You keep those little touches. And yeah.
And so, again, these are people in the church that we were able to have opportunity with. I talked with Carmine this afternoon. He just texted me over Telegram, and I was able to talk to him. And so the relationships that we've built in Germany are still going on because of today's world. You can talk to people around the world with no problem. And so we're still able to be an encouragement to encourage these people in the Lord, even though we're 6,000 miles away. And so the other people here that says not pictured, Georg and Reinhardt. Reinhardt is the man that I talked about earlier who was having difficulty in his marriage, that came to the men's prayer breakfast that was greatly encouraged by the fellowship. And that is one part of the church that is extremely vital, that we as a church come together, have fellowship, encourage one another. Because if you don't do that, where are you going to find godly input into your life?
So, and in Germany, your coworker's not a Christian. Your neighbor's not a Christian. You know, here they might go to a different church, but you think, okay, they might be saved. But in Germany, it's different. So
when you don't have that, you don't have it if you don't have a church to go to. And so this man coming was greatly encouraged to be able to have that. And so, as again, we're talking about kids. And this is where I'm going to bring in the sermon. We're going to be just briefly talking about, because where mission starts. Mission starts in the home. Because if it doesn't, those of us that grew up in a Christian home, we have a tremendous privilege, but a tremendous responsibility as well. We've grown up the entire time hearing God's word. And God can use that, just as he used Timothy in Acts chapter 16, verses 1 to 5, when Timothy meets Barnabas. Acts 16:1-5. Then came he to Derbe and Lystra, and behold, a certain disciple was there named Timotheus, the son of a certain woman which was a Jewess and believed, but her father was a Greek, which was well reported of by the brethren that were in Lystra and Iconium. He would have Paul to go with him, would Paul have to go forth with him, and took him and circumcised him because of the Jews which were in that quarter, for they knew that his father was a Greek. And so because of Timothy's background, he had a good reputation in the church. And our children, when they're raised in a godly home, when they've seen the relationship that we have with God lived out, that will encourage them to do the same, because it's real. And that's what happened with Timothy here. He had a good reputation in the church. And so our children need to see us not just coming to church on Sunday, but also living out our faith in the week. And so as Timothy grew up in this situation, when it came time for God to use him, God brought Paul along to take him. He was preparing him to work with Paul. And so our kids, our mission field that we first need to focus on is our kids. And so that is that's what we're doing. But then these kids here that you see there on the screen, all of these kids don't come from a Christian home. So how are these kids going to know that our relationship with the Lord is real? We have to let them be in our lives. And so when we're living and letting them see us, where we just go to the park. This picture here with Benjamin and his friend, they would meet on a Sunday, because in Germany you have church in the morning and then you don't have an evening service. Sundays are a family day, and so the Christians use the afternoon and evening for family, and this gave us the opportunity to meet this Benjamin's friend at the park and build that relationship in real life with him. Now, God uses also very difficult circumstances. You probably all remember the dog attack that David had about a year ago. And so David was bitten 8 times by a Belgian shepherd. They were at a birthday party at Benjamin's friend's house. And it's amazing how God gave David the wisdom to not scream or anything when he was being bitten, because that's what you're supposed to do when an animal attacks you. Don't scream or yell, because it'll get worse. And so David just was quiet, and his injuries were very severe, but they were not as bad as they could have been. And so this other picture here is David, where it says feeling more himself. That was the next morning. He had to go into surgery, he had to be all stitched up, but God was very gracious. But through this, God helped David understand his need for a Savior. And he received Christ a couple weeks after he got out of the hospital. He was in the hospital for about a week.
I was saying Hannah did as well that same night. And Benjamin had several months earlier through COVID. The COVID restrictions changed a lot. And at one point... when we were in Ingelheim, well, besides testing every day, the kids had to test every day for months and months on end. But at one point, if the student within 6 feet tested positive, you were sent into quarantine. And David was in kindergarten, so kindergartens, you just play. It's not really a learning time as much as play time. So if so many kids in the class tested positive, the whole class got sent into quarantine. So that fear that, you know, something could happen to David when he had to stay home helped trigger Benjamin. Okay, this is serious. I need to make a decision for Christ. And it was about that time as well that Benjamin's desk mate, they shared desk, she got sent into quarantine, but he didn't, even though, you know, he sat, you know, 10 centimeters from her. But it's just one of those crazy times. I also want to go back to Benjamin's friend here from Nepal. Formed a relationship with that family, with that mom and dad, over our year and a half that we were in Ingelheim. They have the little idol in their house that they sacrifice to. every day. I spent some time in their home. They spent time with us. He would come over and, you know, this, that, and the other. And he came to Awana several times, heard the gospel several times through that, through various things. But one of our last book tables, they lived downtown just a few blocks from where we set up the book table. And they would often, we'd sometimes see them walking. So one of our last book tables, you know, the Enish and, sorry, and his parents were, you know, were walking by. And our kids were there. So, you know, he wants to play with Benjamin. So he's playing. And they were coming off a Hindu festival. So, you know, I'm talking to the mom. And Caleb starts talking to the dad. And, when you know, was asking what their festival was about. And had a chance to share the gospel with this man. He took a Bible and Gospel of John. Benjamin's friends always interested in taking, I will take a Bible, I'll take a Gospel of John. And but without that relationship over that year and a half, a Hindu family's not going to stop at a Baptist book table and, you know, discuss. But it was that time that we had spent with them, and we just pray that the Lord will use that. I had talked with a missionary in that passport country, and she said it often takes 2 years before they realize that it's not just adding another God. It's, you know, there is one God. So it'll be, and Benjamin still talks with him on WhatsApp and whatever. So it'll be interesting to see, okay, how is God going to use that in the future in this boy's life?
Okay. And so as we continue talking about the importance of the family and missions, why did God ordain the family? God ordained the family. That was the first thing that God ordained. He ordained the family, and then he ordained the church. And so God puts a great deal of emphasis on the family. We see it in Deuteronomy 6, verses 5 to 7. That's the passage that tells us that we are to be, let me read it real quick, that tells us that we are to be talking with our children as in every part of life. Everything that we do needs to be connected with God's word. It is not to be we have our church life and then we have our home life. There is no such thing. God knows nothing of that. And so Deuteronomy 6:5, Hear, O Israel, this is verse 4, Hear, O Israel, the Lord our God is one Lord, and you shall love the Lord your God with all your heart, with all your soul, and with all your mind, and these words which I command thee this day shall be in thine heart, and thou shalt teach them diligently to thy children, and shalt talk of them when thou sittest in thine house, when thou walkest by the way, and when thou liest down, and when thou risest up. So the Mosaic law was to be part of everything that the Jewish family did, and that is what God's word is to be, that part of everything that we as God's children do. It's our children are to see it in lived out. And so that is the purpose of the family. And so what happens then? Because in our next steps, we know that God, in his providence and in his wisdom, for us, closed the door in Germany. We don't know why. Ultimately, we don't know why. We know the reasons that happened. We were having great difficulty working together with philosophy. And my coworker, he had a very strange view of spiritual gifts. He believes that there are none. All spiritual gifts have ceased. Not just tongues. All spiritual gifts have ceased. God gives us gifts at birth, but there are no spiritual gifts for today. And so that has a very strange, a very definite impact on your hermeneutic and on how a church is supposed to work. And so it became impossible to work together. In any aspect, it was just impossible to work together. And so that is the core of reason why the ministry there in Ingelheim didn't work. And so we looked through Germany and asked people. There was a man in the church whose job, I guess you could call him a retired pastor. He had a church But now God moved him into a ministry where he is goes around and goes to churches and helps them in spiritual counseling and helps them just be grounded in good theology. And so we asked him, because he has a wide view of churches in Germany, if there would be anybody that would be looking for somebody to come alongside and help. Because me in particular, I don't feel like God has called me to be the primary pastor. And so we searched, we did our looking, and God didn't open a door, but he put this next thing on our radar, and we've been searching it out. And that is to work with college students on the college campuses. Because there's kids, yes, they're raised in the Christian home, then they go to the secular college. Before they come out, most of them, or a lot of them, have lost their faith. They've been lambasted with worldly philosophy, and by the time they're done, they've lost their faith. And so this is a extremely vital time in a young person's life. They need to have the opportunity to be able to have Christian fellowship. At our very first meeting on this round of furlough, we were at a church at their missions conference, a supporting church, and after our time talking, one of the young ladies came up to Missy and said, "I'm so thankful that you're thinking about this, because had it not been for a Bible college opportunity or a Bible study in the college that I was in, I would have lost my faith." And so this is an extremely, extremely important time in these people's lives. And so pray with us that God would direct us to the right opportunity, because there are colleges all over this country, and we need to, the Campus Bible Fellowship is a part of Baptist Mid-Missions, and so we're talking with the field administrator for that, and he's helping us find the proper location for service. And so in the time of apostasy, there, 1 Timothy 3:15, it says, sorry, I can't see that. "But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou oughtest to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and ground of the truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. And God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached of by the Gentiles, believed on in the world, received up into glory." And so the church is a vital part of having a vital relationship. And this is, we're not just doing this. We also have been approached by some friends of ours that live in Pennsylvania on their way up here. They asked us if we would be interested in considering working with them to start a church in Pennsylvania. And so if this is what God leads us to, we will be doing, having a dual ministry. Our primary focus will be to work with these college students, but at the same time, we're helping start a church. And this gives these people a church that they can be part of. Because as the scripture says, the church is the pillar and ground of the truth. And so in order to help these children, these young people, through the great difficulties of our day, just like Paul told Timothy in 2 Timothy 1:5, "When I call to remembrance the unfeigned faith which was in thee, which dwelt first in thy grandmother Lois and in thy mother Eunice, and I am persuaded that is in thee, therefore I put thee in remembrance, that thou shalt stir up the gift which was of God, which is in thee, by putting on of the of my hands. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind." Sorry, that's verse. Right, I want 1 Timothy 4. Sorry. 1 Timothy 4:15. Neglect not the gift that is in thee, which was given of thee by the by prophecy with the laying. Is that it? I'm sorry. 1 Timothy 4:15. Yeah, that's it. Meditate on these things. He's talking about he was given a gift. Then meditate on these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thou meditate upon these things. Give thyself wholly to them that thou profiting may be seen of all. Take heed to thyself and to thy doctrine and continue in them. For in doing this, thou shalt both save thyself and them that hear thee. And so Timothy was to have the truth of God's word in his mind, and he was to meditate on them. But when you're being lambasted with the world's philosophy, and you don't have the support of God's people and God's word, the chances that you are going to fail are much greater. And so it is very important that we have, these kids have an opportunity to be able to have access to good, solid Bible teaching. And so pray with us that God would give us clarity about what he wants us to do. As I said at the beginning, God has a very specific purpose for myself and for my wife. He preserved my life at birth for a reason. I've had that, a very strong sense of that my entire life. Lord, okay, I should not be here. According to human standards, I should not be here. But you left me here for a purpose. What is that purpose? I want to fulfill that purpose. There was his purpose for to take us to Germany. And for whatever his plan is, I don't know what his plan is, he brought us back from Germany. And so we're just doing what God wants us to do the best we can. And so pray with us that God will make the next steps clear. Pray that as we meet with our friends, I've known the wife of this man and her parents, they all live in that area for about 20 years, more than 20 years. I've known them for a great long time. They're from our sending church. And so pray that God would make it clear to us, okay, is this the place that God would have us come for ministry? That we would be able to come together with this couple, that we would have a ministry philosophy that meshes, and that would be such that we'll be able to see a church started, and that we'll be able to see people in that area, whether in college or whatever, reach for the gospel. Anything else you want to say?
And that's near Youngstown State University. It's just across the border there. And that, I was, you know, doing some research because I like to research online, and that has a growing international community there at that college. They've almost doubled their international students in the last couple years, and that's also, you know, when you're away from home, you look for people who understand you. So that's also an opportunity. You know, the nation, Caleb's cousin has been with Crew for 20 years. He just wrote in his newsletter, the nations are coming to us. And he just, a man that he had worked with about 5 years ago, just wrote him from a communist nation and said he just got saved. Like, you know, the groundwork was laid 5 years ago. Now the fruit has come to bear. So, you know, you spread the seeds and God does the increase. God does the work. And then we just have another, I don't think it's going to flip pages. Okay. We had a couple prayer requests up there, but I'm not sure where they went, so. It should be there. That one.
There we go. So the prayer requests, we thank God, we're very thankful for what God did with our time in Germany. He not only allowed us to minister to people, but he taught us a great deal. As we were coming to the end of our time and the difficulties that we were going through, my wife and I both sat down and talked about how thankful we have been for the difficulty that we've gone through, that God has shown himself faithful, and all the work that he has done in us personally, but then also the wonderful opportunity to be able to see people in Germany, the Christians in particular, grow in their faith. Even in Erlangen, we saw people, Christians, understand God's word better. Then we saw in Ingelheim, this lady in particular, Sabina, grow in her faith, understanding God's word better. And so we're extremely thankful for what God has done through us and in us in our time in Germany. God didn't waste it taking us to Germany. He's not making a mistake taking us out of Germany. He has a plan, and he's going to work his plan. We're just his servants. So we thank God for the continued relationships that we have in Germany, as we talked about earlier. I'm so thankful for that. We, in today's world, have the opportunity to continue those relationships. Continue to be able to be an encouragement and to be encouraged by these people. We're asking for wisdom for our next place of ministry. And so then we asked our kids, what are some prayer requests that you have? David said he praises God for protection from the dog. That was, as you can imagine, it was a tremendous trauma. But David he still loves dogs, regardless. He's a little bit hesitant at first when the dogs are barking when they first get someplace, but within a matter of minutes, he's playing with the dogs. And so we're very thankful that he doesn't have any massive trauma from it. There was another boy that was at the party that got bit. He was bit on his arm, and we heard from the parents, they were Hindu. He would just get in an absolute panic when a fly came in the room. And so I'm so thankful that David has not had that tremendous trauma. We ask prayer for the transition of our children into homeschooling. Our kids are very thankful that they can do homeschooling. It just makes their schooling a lot more enjoyable and not so stressful for them. And then they ask for friends and for a house. Right now we're in a missions house. We don't know where we're going to be living next. And so pray that our kids would be able to have friends and that we would be able to find at this place that God has for us a house that we can live in. So the kids can have the stability that they don't have right now. As you can imagine, not having stability as a young child can be difficult. So, again, we thank you for your support. We thank you for your prayers for us most of all. As I tell everybody that supports us, without your prayers, we can't do what we're doing. Without your prayers, the missionaries, all of the missionaries you support, can't do what they're doing. Prayer is extremely vital. Prayer is where the battle is fought. And so when you pray, when you're praying for the missionaries and you think, oh, this is just different, this is, what's the point? Or, Lord, just bless the missionaries. God is answering and hearing your prayers. And our prayer cards are out on the table out there. On the back side of them, we have several ways that you can pray for us and for all your missionaries. As I was looking at those again, as we were putting our prayer card together, every single one of those things, I can tell you, God has answered those prayers. And that's because you have been praying. Thank you for your prayers. Okay. Thank you, Pastor.